You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens. I'm your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire, coming to you here, unfortunately, not on a Victory Monday, as the Ravens suffer a pretty heartbreaking, brutal loss to their division rival in the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 13, 20-19, the final score. It was another sloppy game for the Ravens offense. Fourth quarter where the Ravens defense didn't really come to play, you know, missed tackles, big plays, untimely ones at that. And there were just, you know, one or two things that didn't go the Ravens' way that ultimately decided the game, where if a two-point conversion gets converted, or if an interception isn't thrown, or this, that, and the other, the Ravens probably walk out of Pittsburgh 9-3, still atop the AFC, but doesn't always go that way, especially when the offense still starts off really slowly. So there's a lot to dive into today. And I know just with the news about Marlon Humphrey and even Patrick McCary, there's a lot. And there's a lot of just really, I don't know what to call it, humbling or just all this different stuff, because I know a lot of people were really excited about this team going into this week about, you know, they're 8-3 and they are doing it with all these injuries and they have played good overall football. The offense hasn't been up to par, but the defense has been carrying. So I know that a lot of people were let down by this loss. I understand. So I do want to talk about the offense in the first segment and just get into what happened with Lamar Jackson. You know, he wasn't able to bounce back in this one. We'll talk about the run game a little bit, the offensive line, and obviously the decision on the two-point conversion. In the second segment, talking about the defense, you know, again, strong start for them, but really in the fourth quarter, just seemed like they could not stop a thing. And then really in the final segment, just where this team goes from here with the injury news and the schedule they have coming up and just what they can do as a team to continue to try to achieve their goals, which it seems like by the week, it just gets harder and harder with the injuries and with the performances we're seeing. So we'll get into that in the final segment. Before we do that, though, I do want to say I appreciate everybody who is listening here today. I know it can be very hard after a loss to tune in to a show about that team and how, you know, how poorly they played, or that, oh, they took a loss instead of picking up a victory. So I appreciate everybody coming in here, listening to me talk about this team, especially during a loss. It really does mean a lot to me. Also, if you're following along with us in audio form, be sure to follow us. So Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your audio podcasts, where they're waiting Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern time. Also, be sure to follow the show on YouTube. That means, you know, subscribe, like the video. It all helps out with the YouTube algorithm. We are in video form. And also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at ChaosStriker34 and the Locked On Ravens account at Locked On Ravens. So let's talk about this game here. Again, 20-19, the Ravens fall. I predicted 24-18 Ravens. It was kind of in my score range, just not with the team that obviously a lot of people wanted to win the game, especially here on the show in Locked On Ravens. Definitely Lamar Jackson's another one of his worst games, I'd say. Wasn't absolutely atrocious, but was not amazing. And, you know, if we'll start off with the box score stats, 23-37, 253 yards, one touchdown, one interception. There were a lot of things, though, that the box score doesn't show, where you kind of look at it. And if you were watching this game, you understand, you know, he was holding the ball for far too long on a lot of plays. The interception decision was very, very poor. And ultimately, if he throws that away, the Ravens get 3 points. And, you know, obviously the game changes, but you're looking at, from a point perspective, with those 3 points, that of the Ravens win 22-20. So it's just those missed opportunities with a player like Jackson. And a lot of people are asking, you know, coming off of a 4-interception game, why is this the result? Well, for one, a lot of people were talking about the Chiefs as Lamar Jackson's kryptonite. Jackson had decent numbers against Kansas City in some of those games. Lamar Jackson, his kryptonite is Pittsburgh. His kryptonite is the Pittsburgh Steelers in that defense. They know how to get him. And until he proves otherwise, I'm going to say that the Pittsburgh Steelers are the team that Lamar Jackson struggles the most against. You have the statistics to back that up. You have plays to back that up. You have film to back that up. And it's unfortunate. Jackson, you know, falls to 1-2 against Ben Roethlisberger. And it's also unfortunate because you have, I think, a guy who, you know, really wants to win these games, such a competitor, and the team around him is getting whittled away week by week. And I'm not going to blame his performance on injuries, right? There were things in this game, and I put this game on Lamar Jackson. I know he puts this game on himself. He understands he has to play better, but look, he does have to play better. There are those decisions that he makes where he holds the ball for too long. And here's where I think it happens for him. He understands that, you know, he is a huge part of this offense. He is the key guy in this offense. and he sees probably, and you know, this is all speculation. You know, I don't know if this is actually how he thinks, but I think he sees this run game. He sees how it's not necessarily living up to the run games of 2020 and 2019 and in those run games. He sees it struggling, and he sees the offensive line and guys are in his face every 1 second after the ball snapped. So he wants to play a bit of hero ball. He wants to make a play happen, as you know he should. You know, he's a quarterback, and I think he should make those plays. But there are times where he rolls out, he holds the ball for too long, he lets guys get around him, he still holds on to the ball even though there's nothing there, and he holds it for a covered sack. He throws it, you know, as we saw in the Pittsburgh game yesterday, he throws it up and it's a pick or there's a bad throw. And so there are some of those plays where, yeah, look, we're not talking about an old quarterback with no mobility. We're talking about one of the best athletes in the NFL. He absolutely has shown in the past time and time and time again that he can make those plays where he extends the play in the pocket. He gets out, he maneuvers around, he picks up 20 yards on a play where he should have lost 10. But that doesn't happen every play. And while Jackson is certainly one of the best at doing it, some of his decision-making this year has been a bit, I don't know whether it's clouded by the fact that he just has to make all these decisions because guys are just in his face all the time. And, you know, the offensive line has not been good this year. You know, I think a lot of people recognize that. The loss of Ryan Stanley has been huge. Patrick McCary going in and out has been big. The turnstile at left guard has been big. Tyree Phillips hasn't played well at right tackle when he's been in there. You know, it's just all this different stuff. So Jackson sees that. He sees he has to make plays by himself. He feels that way. Maybe that's the case. So he goes out there. He tries to make a play. He's playing too much hero ball. He doesn't want to lose those battles. You know, Spencer Schultz, friend of the show, put it really nicely. He doesn't want to lose those battles to win the war. He wants to win every single thing. And sometimes he can make a play where he thinks, oh, yeah, you know what? I escaped. I'm throwing it here on the run. This is a great throw. And then a defensive back comes screaming across the field. Interception. So he does have to get better at his decision-making, and it's tough because he doesn't have the offensive line he needs. He doesn't have the run game he needs around him, but this is what he's working with, and he has to learn to work with it. And, you know, we all know Jackson's a better player than what he's shown over these past couple of weeks. We know that. He's shown it time and time again. He can lead this team to wins. He's done so much for them as a player, as a person. But, you know, the reality of it is he does have to play better football because this team goes as far as he goes. And while sometimes the defense can make up for his mistakes and bad games like we saw in week 12 against Cleveland, it doesn't happen every week. So he does have to play better. His decision-making has to get better. You know, maybe he's just a bit flustered and frustrated right now. I understand if he is. But in the NFL, you got to move on. You got to figure it out. He said he lets it fester, so he'll do that. And hopefully he'll come back against Cleveland and have a much better performance. The run game, I thought, did a little bit better. But then you look at the stats and you're like, oh, man, not is as good as I thought. Lamar Jackson led this team once again, 8 carries for 55 yards. Devonta Freeman had 14 carries for 52 yards. Latavius Murray 2 for 1 and Nate McCrary 1 for -1. I thought Devonta Freeman looked really good, but then you look at his 3.7 yards per carry average and you're like, not as good as you thought. But he also was a factor in the pass game, catching 5 of 8 targets for 45 yards. So the run game, we talked about it all last week. It's just, it is what it is right now. The offensive line without Stanley, the running backs without Thomas and Edwards, they have to deal with it. I wouldn't be shocked if the team actually wanted to bring back Freeman in the offseason and use him as more of a third down change of pace guy like a Justice Hill. Now, he can't play special teams like Justice Hill, I don't think, but he's proven value to me. I think he's improved so much since the first couple weeks. I thought he played not great football his first couple weeks, but he has improved to me. I think he's done that in a really good fashion. So I wouldn't be shocked if the Ravens say, hey, you know, if you want to come back and play a change of pace role for us, you'll get carries and in a high volume rushing offense. Maybe that'll be something that he could consider. But I think Freeman looked better in this game. Latavius Murray, Nate McCrary did not, but the run game continues to be carried by the quarterback. So, you know, Lamar Jackson, Tyler Huntley, whoever's under center for them. The receiving game, nothing to write home about. Yeah, Marquise Brown, 5 receptions, 55 yards. Mark Andrews, 4 for 50. Devonta Freeman, I've talked about, 5 for 45. Sammy Watkins, 4 for 39. Latavius Murray, 2 for 34. Devin Duvernay, 2 for 21. And Patrick Ricard, 1 for 9. Rashad Bateman held catchless in this game on just one target. That was a pretty big surprise. Bateman is somebody who's been a big part of this offense recently. I thought that just, you know, with what he's been able to do this year, maybe he would be more involved in this game. Maybe he could have scored his first touchdown, but it just hasn't happened this season. But yeah, the offense as a whole was just off all game. And until really they had that 99-yard drive, which was very impressive, and they had the end-of-game drive, which was very impressive. And then other than that, you didn't really have a lot of good in between. Looking at the team stats, it again, the big thing here for me, time of possession, the Ravens dominated and still lost. 36-30 for the Ravens, 23-30 for the Steelers. My theory has been getting proved wrong a lot over these past couple of weeks, you know, talking about Miami, talking about Pittsburgh. And it's tough. You know, some of it attributes to the slow starts on offense, which just have to be improved. You see penalties killing momentum on these early drives where they're getting stuff going. And then all of a sudden it's a holding call, legal shift, or there's a sack. And it just takes all the momentum and puts it back in the opponent's hands. And it causes a punter, causes a field goal, causes a turnover. And that just can't happen. The Ravens have to fix their fast start issues. Other than that, though, the Ravens on third down went 8 of 16, so 50%, not terrible. Wish it could have been a little bit better, but, you know, at this point, you'll take it. They ran 69 total plays, the Pittsburgh's 57. The penalties, they had 10 of them for 55 yards. Those were some pretty big ones. You saw holding calls, you saw the illegal shifts, so those are some things they have to clean up on for sure. The offensive line, I thought, was all right. I'm not pinning all of Lamar Jackson's struggles on them. They did a good job of giving him time during certain points of this game. They also struggled immensely in other parts of the game. So I think it was a mixed bag performance, better than what we've seen, but also not up to the par I think a lot of people want to see out of them. So the Ravens scored 19 points. You know, the two-point conversion, that was a big play in this game. And I think when looking at it, I think it was the right call for a couple of reasons. One, as John Harbaugh kind of talked about, the Ravens, they did not have a lot of corners left. Marlon Humphrey, will talk about him. He's injured, seriously injured, it seems like. So the Ravens were down corners. They felt confident in their ability to win the game. And I didn't feel confident in the defense to stop them. You know, we saw in week one against the Raiders, that defense in overtime, they did not play well. And you kind of had the feeling when they went to overtime, it was, oh no, like if the Raiders get the ball, they're going to score. And they did, and they scored. Week two against Kansas City, if the Ravens don't go for it on that fourth down in their own territory, a lot of people, I think, understood what would have happened if Patrick Mahomes got that football back. The Chiefs probably would have scored. They would have won the game. But the Steelers, it's probably the same thing, where you can risk the coin toss. You leave it to a coin toss. You leave it to your skill players like Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews. You know, I'm leaving it to the skill players. Lamar Jackson's won many games with his arm. The play was there. The execution was not. You know, you could blame it on Jackson. You can blame it on Andrews. I think it was a little bit of both. The throw was a little off. TJ Watt, it was really the TJ Watt difference. Watt came in at 3.5 sacks, was wreaking havoc all over the field and wreaked havoc on that play. So, you know, when you look at it, that there are arguments for not going for it and kicking the extra point, going to overtime. You have Justin Tucker. I understand it. I totally get that point of view. And I'm not saying that point of view is wrong at all. You know, there are plenty of points to say, you know what, they should have trusted Tucker. They should have trusted their defense. And I get that. But at the end of the day, I think you leave it up to number 8. I think you leave it up to number 89. And if you lose with those two, then you chalk it up to a loss, you move on, and that's it. But there is disappointment because it was there. They had it. They could have won the football game. And it was just literally inches away from being a miraculous finish for this Baltimore Ravens team. Another one of those in a miraculous season, but not this week for the Ravens. We'll head into our first break. When we get back, we'll be diving into the defense in this Pittsburgh 20-19 loss the Baltimore Ravens took. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friends logging for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion to get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. We return here. It's our second segment of this Locked On Ravens Monday edition. Kevin Ostreich, your host, still here with you. Talking about the Ravens' disappointing 20-19 defeat at the hands of the Pittsburgh Steelers in Week 13. A game, and we'll talk about it here with this defensive unit now, that really the defense came to play for the first three quarters. The fourth quarter was a pretty big disaster for them. And, you know, the Steelers put up mostly all of their points, almost all their points in the fourth quarter. 17 of their 20 came in the fourth quarter. The Ravens defense, their unit has been a really interesting one all season. And what I mean by that is, especially over these last 4 weeks, they haven't given up a ton of touchdowns. They haven't given up a ton of yards. Their run defense has been really stout, but they struggle with the pass defense. We know the injuries with the cornerbacks. We'll talk about that in a couple minutes here. But the big plays continue to be an issue. And I think that's where the Ravens lost this game on defense, to the point where John Harbaugh felt like he had to go for it in the two-point conversion instead of kicking the extra point with Justin Tucker, was because we saw the miscommunication on the Deontay Johnson touchdown. We saw a couple of other big miscommunications and other big plays that happened. And those are the types of things that really can change the momentum of the game. We haven't seen those out of the Baltimore offense recently, and it's been kind of hurting them and hindering them, but it can really help an opposing offense if they're hitting on them, because all of a sudden, you know, you're going and you have a third down and short and you hit a big play to Chase Claypool or something like that, which did happen in this game. It puts all the momentum on your side and it can really spark an offense. The Pittsburgh offense was reeling, was struggling, and it seemed like with the way the Ravens were holding the ball and forcing the Pittsburgh defense to stay out on the field and how the Pittsburgh offense was cold coming out because they weren't on the field for so long, it felt like a game that, you know, if it had continued that way, the defense would have just had one or two more possessions where they stepped up, I don't know, just a little bit more. And it kind of felt like, all right, this game could really go in the Ravens' favor in a big way, but it didn't happen. There were a couple penalties. We saw the back-breaking one on Anthony Averett where he had the hold on Deontay Johnson. It was called pass interference on the interception by Patrick Queen. That, you know, what, it was a penalty. I mean, it was. The Ravens got some gift calls. The Steelers got some gift calls, but that was not a gift call. That was the correct call. And Averett had a bad game. You know, probably it's up there with Indianapolis. It's up there with Indianapolis. He multiple plays where he was the culprit. He gave up some plays. It was unfortunate for him to have another game like that. And, you know, they've had Ben Roethlisberger go 21 to 31, 236 yards, two touchdowns. But this was a game that was the sack. I think sacks were a huge factor, or I guess for the Ravens, non-sacks. The Ravens, they gave up seven. Lamar Jackson was sacked seven times in this game. Ben Roethlisberger was technically sacked once, but it was for 0 yards. So, you know, it's just plays like that where it can do so much for a defense to get the game on track, to say, hey, you know, we're kind of reeling a bit right now, but we got the quarterback down. It's a third and long situation. We've talked about this with the Baltimore offense a little bit, and they're a third down offense where they sometimes have trouble getting into those easy third and medium, third and short situations because they take sacks. And all of a sudden, you're in a second and five, and you take a sack, you're in a third and 12. Well, for the Steelers, they got into third and shorts, and the Ravens defense still did a good job on third down. 5 of 12 on third down for the Steelers, which still is decent, all things considered. And, you know, you can talk about the red zone, which, you know, the Steelers went in once, scored once. The Ravens were 2 of 5, by the way. That's another thing on the offensive side of the ball they need to improve. They kicked field goals in the red zone, and you can't do that if you want to win football games. It's very rare teams do that and win. So the Steelers took advantage of their one red zone attempt. They also obviously had the big play to Deontay Johnson for a touchdown. But I think when you look at this team and what they've gone through from an injury perspective, they were missing Marcus Peters. They were missing Nashawn Elliott. Chris Westry was out in this one. They, you know, Pernell McPhee's on injured reserve. Daylon Hayes on injured reserve. Derek Wolfe. You know, I could keep going. They've had to adjust and work, and it's worked. I mean, this defense has been the life force of this team for the past 3 weeks. They've been that good, where they've covered up for the offense's mistakes, but it can't just all be defense. No defense in the NFL is perfect. There will be bad quarters. There will be bad halves. There will be bad games. And we saw a bad quarter, by the Ravens in this Pittsburgh game, where you had them, you know, dominating. They were stopping the run. Najee Harris wasn't getting anything going for most of the game. Ben Roethlisberger, a little bit flustered, was getting under pressure a little bit. He had a little bit of pressure, but he was getting the ball away. And the sacks, what I think would have contributed a huge, huge amount to, I think, a better football game for this defense, more consistent success for this Ravens defense. And that's been a big thing this year, right? It's been the consistency of this Ravens defense. Can they consistently stop giving up the big plays, consistently get the quarterback down? I thought over the past 3 weeks before this game, the Ravens pass rush had taken a turn for good. And they had been getting the quarterback down. They'd been getting high pressure. But this team has always kind of been a high pressure, low sack team, as we've talked about. They also have not generated many turnovers this year. The interceptions have been very few and far in between. We've seen this team drop multiple interceptions. I mean, it happened in this game too. Chuck Clark dropped one. Marlon Humphrey dropped one. Patrick Queens was nullified. So this team has to be a bit better at getting turnovers because, again, it's those game-changing plays, momentum-changing plays where we saw it happen in week 12 where, you know, the momentum was shifting back and forth and back and forth. But if the Ravens don't get those turnovers, Cleveland has the momentum. Cleveland can maybe drive down the field and score. So those are the types of plays that the Ravens really have to improve upon. And I mean, all things considered, this game for me is on the offense. I'm not necessarily blaming it on a defensive unit that didn't allow the Pittsburgh Steelers to score a touchdown into the fourth quarter, right? Those are games that usually when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson, an offense like the Ravens in most years, most weeks, that's enough to win a football game. Giving up 20 points, that's enough. But this year, it's just not the case. The Ravens offense has struggled to a huge degree. I'm not pinning all the blame on the offense or all the blame on the defense. There were some situations where the Ravens, again, and this has happened in years past, that they were playing off coverage. They should have been playing, I think, more press, and it was on a third down play. For example, Jimmy Smith on a third down play was playing about 6-7 yards off. Steelers on a third and one, third and two, throw a short slant to Deontay Johnson, and he gets the first down. So, you know, situational football, I didn't really necessarily dislike what Don Martindale was calling or what Greg Roman was calling. There were some situations where I'm like, what in the world is happening right now? You know, the screen on third and long that got like 2 yards. It's plays like that where, you know, it's not all play calling. It's not all execution. It's a combination of both. And this one, I think for me, was more in the execution of the players. We just saw breakdowns in the defensive secondary. We saw guys getting wide open. We saw good plays made by the Steelers too. And we saw the Steelers get the momentum, take advantage of it. The Ravens defense was the one that was gassed at the end because you had the Steelers offense, which was kind of, you know, going three and out. The Steelers defense getting back on the field. They were getting gassed. But then the Ravens offense started going three and out. And then you had the Ravens defense, which is already stretched so thin. You can't really make a ton of subs with the players you have. All of a sudden get thinner with the loss of Marlon Humphrey. Now, this is a big point here because it was reported by Ian Rappaport on Sunday night after the game that Marlon Humphrey is presumably done for the season with a shoulder injury. And it happened on the touchdown to Deontay Johnson where Humphrey tries to punch the ball out, you know, his peanut punch, or, you know, as he calls it, the fruit punch. And he might have been his pec, might have been his shoulder. They're classifying it as a shoulder, Rappaport says. But I think that it's brutal. It's brutal for a team that's already gone through so much injury-wise, who've lost so many stars. The secondary, every year without fail, it seems like. They come into the year with the cornerback position as like the deepest position on the team. And then by the end of the year, they're reduced to almost nothing due to injuries. And now they're down Marlon Humphrey, assuming Rappaport's sources are correct and everybody's right on that. They're down Marcus Peters. They don't have Deshaun Elliott. Ardarius Washington is done for the year. If you want to go even deeper, you got Khalil Dorsey. You know, all these different types of depth pieces. You know, signing guys off the street to the practice squad like Robert Jackson, who's coming up. And it's just, it's a position where you have guys coming up like Devontae Adams. You have Cooper Kupp. You have Ja'Marr Chase. You know, another bout with the Steelers, another bout with the Browns. So the cornerback position now is in the hands of Anthony Averett, Jimmy Smith, Tavon Young, those types of players, and injuries can really be a big derailing factor in a season, regardless of how talented a team is. And I think we're starting to really kind of see it with the Ravens, where the offense is feeling it, the defense is starting to feel it a little bit, and we'll see how they can respond. They've responded well over the course of the year, but can they continue to do it after a tough loss to Pittsburgh, having to go to Cleveland for a team that, you know, Baltimore has Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Cleveland had by Baltimore by. So, or Baltimore by Baltimore, excuse me. So, there are those types of things to look out for. And we'll head into our final break. When we get back, we'll talk a bit more about the injury situation for the Ravens, how far they can go, and what's next for them. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. This holiday season, grab the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, or even better than a candy bar, in Built Bar. You get the best of both worlds, delicious and healthy. There are so many flavors, you'll have a hard time choosing. Well, you have raspberry, mint brownie, cherry, double chocolate, or cookies and cream and peanut butter brownie. Built Bar give you that extra fuel you need to bust down those mall doors and battle all the holiday shoppers. People are so passionate about their favorite flavor, they'll fight for it, and things potentially could get out of hand. Tell Santa to throw a few of those Built Bars in those stockings. You can dip your Built Bar into a piping hot cup of cocoa, let it melt a little bit, and give your beverage a bit of that Built Bar flavor. Like some of those marshmallowy treats around the holidays, get your hands on some Built Bar Puffs. They're light, they're fluffy, and marshmallowy through and through. So go to Built.com and use promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off of your order. BetOnline, as we covered all season, with more props, odds, and lies than ever before as football season continues to march to the playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. It's our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. This is our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. We return here, our final segment of this not-so-victory Monday for the Baltimore Ravens. on Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you, your host. And look, it was a tough 20-19 defeat to the Steelers. It was heartbreaking, brutal, whatever you want to call it. You know, I'll probably agree with you. But the Ravens, they have to move on now. And they have to do so without one of their stars in Marlon Humphrey, which has been quite the theme this season for this team. And, you know, I just feel so bad for all these players who have had to go through so much injury-wise. You know, first of all, of course, the guys who are getting injured, you know, having these brutal, painful injuries, taking away the game that they love. You know, all my prayers are out to them and my wishes for speedy recoveries. And then for the guys on the field, you know, it can impact them as well. And I think when you're talking about any football team, the injuries, you know, like a year that the Ravens have had, for example, it limits the ceiling of your football team. And that's not me saying, oh, you know, the Ravens are terrible because they have all these injuries and they can't do anything. No, I mean, they've shown it this year that they can overcome and they can do whatever they want to do sometimes. They can win football games in amazing fashion. But, you know, it's a reality. You know, for example, is the run game better with Gus Edwards and J.K. Dobbins, or is it better with Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman? It's better with Dobbins and Edwards. You know, that's just a fact. I'm not saying Murray and Freeman are terrible players, but this offense would have a higher ceiling with them at the helm. So now you're looking at a defensive unit, this down Marlon Humphrey, down Marcus Peters, down Deshaun Elliott and Derek Wolfe and all these other guys too. And it's tough because I think coming into the year, there was such high expectations surrounding players like Dobbins and like Edwards and how they were going to break out even more and be these star players. You know, getting a guy like Derek Wolfe back and having the duo of Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, and all these guys are done. Deshaun Elliott and his season's done. It's been every single week, whether it's just a week-long injury or a couple weeks or a month or a couple months of the season, it just seems like there's something new. And John Harbaugh's done a great job of maneuvering through it, you know, rallying his team to be the top seed in the AFC through 12 weeks. That's pretty impressive. Now they're not there anymore, but still, to be 8-3 at that point, to have gone what they had gone through and to do all of that in a year where some people just said throw in the towel, tank, and just be done with it. This team's never going to give up, and they shouldn't give up. They have too much talent. They have too much pride to do that, and they believe in themselves as they should. They still have high goals and expectations for themselves. It's a lot harder than it was, you know, just 48 hours ago, though, because you have now a team without their top corner, arguably a top five corner in the NFL, without one of their better offensive linemen this season, not to mention all the other things they have gone through. Lamar Jackson appeared to tweak his ankle a little bit on that one run he had in the Pittsburgh game. I don't know if it doesn't seem like it's all that serious, although maybe it is and it's surprising. Hopefully not, though. But it's just week in, week out. The injury reports are essays every week. They're essays. They have like at least 10 players on them every week, and it doesn't get any better. So, you know, it's really tough to see a team that had so much potential coming into the year and still has a lot of potential just have their ceiling capped a little bit because of the talent they've lost. Now, they can still do it, but their schedule's very tough. They obviously have Cleveland next week where they'll have to go there. You know, Baltimore beat them in Baltimore. Now they have to beat them in Cleveland. I didn't see the Ravens sweeping Cleveland this year. Now, also, I saw them sweeping Pittsburgh, so maybe I'm just wrong and the sweep will come against Cleveland, not Pittsburgh. Let's hope. But Lamar Jackson will have to step up. The defense will have to play more consistent football. The coaching staff will have to call a bit better games, right? It's on everybody. It's not just one person. Now, Cleveland is in an advantage because they had a bye to rest their players, right? Baker Mayfield maybe got a little healthier in this one, right? Just because he didn't have to play, didn't have to get hit. The Browns had a couple of other injuries. Now, they've lost their fair share of players, but you'll have a hard time. In fact, it's pretty impossible to convince me that the Ravens are not the most injured team in the NFL right now. I don't care who has more players on injury reserve. The Ravens have lost by far the most talent in the NFL with their injuries, and they're right up there with the actual numbers. So the Ravens are the most injured team in the NFL, where they are right now is remarkable. You know, I give them a lot of props, a lot of credit. They still have their goal of winning the Super Bowl. They're confident in themselves, and they're not going to have that confidence waver because of a two-point conversion that didn't go their way or of an offensive performance that wasn't up to their standards. But what they do know, and I'm sure a lot of people know, is that they have to perform better. They do. This offense, they have some issues. They have some really, really big issues to figure out. They have to figure out how to throw effectively against the blitz, how to just maneuver against the blitz effectively. It's been a killer for them over these past couple of weeks, this past month. They haven't really figured out how to maneuver around it, and they have to be able to do that. The consistency of the defense, as I talked about, it all just has to get better. So in my opinion, you know, this team can still definitely make the playoffs. I know people are saying, you know, chalk it up, tank, you know, that's it. But no, this team they believe in themselves. I believe in them. I know right now it looks a little dark, especially after a loss where they lose not only the game, but a couple of players that really mean a lot to their team. But Lamar Jackson is more talented than we have seen. And I understand that, you know, there are things to work on. And if they don't get those things figured out, it'll be really rough. And it'll be rough for them over the course of the rest of the season. But the coaching staff will have to adjust. They have to figure it all out. I think they can do it, but it does remain to be seen because the injuries, again, it does cap their ceiling as a football team, but we'll see how much of it does and how they can respond because they've shown they can win in the big situations. They've shown they can beat anybody in the league, but they've also shown they can play down to their competition. They can be inconsistent and that can be killer for them. So a lot of unanswered questions, and we'll talk about it here over the course of the rest of the week here on Locked On Ravens. That's all I have for you here today on today's episode. I'm going to get back tomorrow. We'll be diving into more Ravens football talk, so stay tuned for that, and I will see you tomorrow.